You're listening to a Pledge Drive edition of This American Life. All this hour, I'm playing stories from the last few months to remind you why you might consider donating to this public radio station. So we did a thing when the Trump administration started doing workplace raids. You know those raids where immigration officials swoop into a factory or a business and arrest hundreds or dozens of undocumented workers all at once. Anyway, one of our producers, Lily Sullivan, got very interested in those because she'd heard that when one of those raids happens, it ripples through the whole community. Like, it doesn't just affect the families of undocumented workers. It affects everybody else in town as well. And so she headed out to the very first place that the Trump administration hit with one of those raids, this town called Morristown, Tennessee, where ICE picked up 97 undocumented workers in one day, almost all of them working at this slaughterhouse that was outside of town. And Lily talked to the people there, including kids who came home to learn that their parents had been picked up, like this 9-year-old.
And then my mom said that they got your dad migration. And I was just like, what's that? What does that mean?
His mom, who's also undocumented, then left the house to go take their dad his medicine. And she told this 9-year-old and his older brother to keep themselves busy cleaning the house while she was gone. And they did that. The older brother was actually scared that his mom would not come back at all.
And they would be gone and we'd be just me and him. Just, I have to take care of him. I have to give him food and I have to, like, you know.
Wait, but how old are you? Isn't that too much to do?
I mean, I'm 12, so I already know everything about him and what he likes and everything. So I think I'll be pretty good in taking care of him.
This town, Morristown, is small enough, under 30,000 people, that nobody in town could really avoid what happened at the slaughterhouse. And like I say, it was the reactions from the rest of the town that really interested Lily. And that is the part of the story that I'm going to play for you right now. Here's Lily.
Everyone saw the helicopters. Lots of people knew someone who'd been picked up or knew their kids or other relatives. When dozens of officers come storming into a small town, rounding up 100 people, it's the kind of thing where people spill out of their houses and watch. Krista Etter lives up the hill from the plant. She had been scared that there was some criminal on the loose. She called her daughter, who was at home, and told her to lock the doors. When Krista heard it was a raid at the slaughterhouse, she hiked across the field by her house to go see. She saw the ICE trailer, officers cordoning off the entrance to the plant. Krista's a Trump supporter. She's not a fan of illegal immigration. Most of the area is that way. The county went 77% to Trump. She didn't know anyone who'd been directly affected. Over the weekend, she went to a vigil for the parents who'd been taken away. Not because she wanted to. She didn't. She's the general manager for a local paper, and they asked her to take pictures. She says that when she showed up, she was actually a little angry that all these people were there at all. Like, what do they expect? These people broke the law. They should have seen it coming.
I thought this possibly was a good thing that ICE was cracking down on immigration. They're here illegally. They need to go home.
And then she started listening to the kids at the mic.
Hola. Me llamo Raúl y tengo 16 años.
There was a young man, he was a teenager, 14, 15 years old, that said he just wanted his mom to come home. He didn't have anybody else. He just wanted his mom to come home. It just really just shook my soul. It was almost overwhelming because there were so many children speaking and I actually kind of had to get out of there because I was like, it's getting hot and I had health issues and I was like, I have to remove myself, you know, walk out to my car, get a breath. And God's kind of going, see, I wanted you here because you're not correct in your thinking. You're not correct in thinking that this is so black and white. Because when I heard crackdown on illegal immigration, I interpreted it as a crackdown on illegal immigrants that were criminals. there was a drug situation, you know, violent criminals, pedophile, any kind of situation of that nature. That's what I expected. And I really believe I'm not the only one who did that. I don't think anybody ever really stopped to think that they were going to go after the family man working at the meatpacking plant. That's not what I had in mind.
I talked to a lot of people in town who, after the raid, said they felt stunned. People kept reminding me, this is the Bible Belt. This town's God-fearing. There's over 100 churches in the area. Love thy neighbor. People take that seriously. And that really shaped the town's response to the raid. Reverend David Williams is a pastor in town at a Southern Baptist church. He describes himself as Republican, conservative, very pro-life, pro-military, pro-Second Amendment. Also, he led a prayer at the vigil.
That Jesus loves the little children.
Que Jesucristo ama los niñitos.
Regardless of their color.
No importa de su color.
Or the status of their citizenship.
Or el status de su inmigración.
He felt he needed to do it after driving past the raid all day on his way between his house and his church.
And it was very creepy to see a particular ethnic group basically rounded up. As Americans, we are better than this.
I'm just trying to understand. This is kind of exactly what President Trump said he would do. He promised workplace raids, right? Okay. And then everyone was really shocked when it actually happened. Yeah. Why are people surprised, you know?
I don't know. I don't think when people voted for Trump that they were voting for more raids. I think people were voting for a secure border. You know, surely people didn't vote that families would be separated and that families torn apart and children scared, when am I going to see my mother or father again? We're talking about our neighbors. They're in the shadow of the steeple of the church where I serve. So I have a moral and biblical obligation. It became a divine thing. Yeah. I hope I have a job after this interview.
Other people told me the same thing. Their faith told them that they needed to help these families. So this very conservative town stepped up to help the people who'd been detained and their families. Morristown's pretty small, but it's also pretty well integrated. Latinos have been there for decades. Whites and Latinos live in the same neighborhoods. The schools are mixed. By the morning after the raid, the town had raised $30,000 to bond people out of detention and to help with necessities. 2 weeks later, it was up to $90,000. Again, here's Krista.
I think some of it was guilt. It was guilt because you don't raise the kind of money in these communities because we all thought we were right in our assumptions. Do you see what I mean? It was guilt. We were like, wow, we all thought that they should all go home. We all thought we needed to build a wall. And then all of a sudden, we watched families being torn apart. We never thought about those that were left behind.
Now they did. Pastors in town started a telephone chain, opening up churches around town as sanctuaries, with cots for people who were scared that ICE would come back. When an immigration raid hits, you don't usually hear about this kind of response, a town-wide effort to pick up the pieces. Longtime residents lined up to volunteer at churches, brought trucks full of food and donations. One organizer told me that a local bishop dropped off $5,000 and said, "This is for my church. I'm sorry, this is not what we intended." People connected families with lawyers, wrote hundreds of character references for people detained. The Garcia family were the kids cleaned the house the day of the raid. The kids' teachers came by each week with bags of groceries. And 2 months later, at the crack of dawn, their dad came home. The town donated $1,000 to go toward his bond, and the mom was able to scrape together another $9,000 and bond him out. His older sons picked him up from Louisiana. They drove all night to get home. He hadn't told his younger sons he was out. Their mom got them out of bed, saying, "Wake up. We're going to McDonald's for breakfast. Hurry up. We're about to leave." They were putting on their shoes when their dad opened the screen door and said, "So what are you going to get me from McDonald's?" Their mom actually videoed it on her phone. The second his dad walks in, the youngest son, Eric, he loses it. Starts wailing. He's hugging his dad and saying, Papi.
Lily Sullivan. A year after that dad got home, the kids are still clinging to him. He's in deportation proceedings, and they don't know if he'll have to leave the country permanently, though the family is planning for that possibility. So this is the Pledge Drive, and I wanted to play you this story because it takes you into this community in such a real way. The people in the story are complicated in this way that defies the usual categories. Like, for instance, the Republicans in town, they still support the president. Lots of them still want action on immigration overall. But they also respond with compassion to the undocumented people they see right in front of them. Public radio goes out into the world and documents all kinds of things that do not fit the usual story that people tell. I feel like a lot of the best work that you hear on this radio station is doing that all the time. It's independently minded reporting. If you value that, if you want that on the radio, help us pay for it. I can tell you, for Lily, to find people and get them to open up to her, which was not always easy, and talk honestly, it took her several trips to Morristown. It took many weeks. And Lily, you know, she didn't know that's how the town reacted when she first showed up. She, you know, was asking around what happened. People started telling her. And she had to talk to lots of people, so many more people than you actually hear in this story, to figure out the scope of the charity efforts and who was at the center of it and how many people were involved. That's what got these voices on the air that you just heard. If you want stories like that, if you want to hear them, do this out of selfishness, you know, do this for yourself. Like, make sure that they're coming to you, you know, make sure you get your supply by helping us pay for them. Here's how to pledge.